Hey, community. Join us in a conversation between two friends about G.I. Joe, toy culture, and more. This is The Order of Battle. Episode, we ended talking about a couple shows we were going to hit up, and we were excited to talk about it. Well, in the current state of things, everything has either been canceled or postponed. So instead of talking about our hauls and adventures at the show, we decided we would take a look at the things we've either recently gotten or are still currently getting. I threw out that I had landed two of the playsets from my 2020 list. The first one is the Playmobil Hidden Temple. It essentially looks like an Aztec temple. Timing-wise, very perfect because Nicole and I recently watched all four Indiana Jones movies. I actually wound up getting two of them because they were 50% off at Target. They are essentially two walls. They've got some very Playmobil-looking accessories. There's a lot of neat stuff packed into the box if you can find it on sale, or if you are looking for that type of world-building piece. It is definitely worth a grab. Loaded with play features because it is actually for kids. It's very neat. It's a little underscaled for both modern and vintage, but if you're using it in the background or if you're a kid playing, it really doesn't matter. Basically say the same thing for the Schleich Krakow Jungle Research Center. That is a higher quality toy, comes at a much higher price tag. I cannot wait to set that up in the background and take some pictures with my adventure team guys and actually start working on some sort of adventure-based story, especially fresh out of watching Indiana Jones. I've got a million different ideas for photos. I'm hoping I can find some time to do that now that my life outside of work has slowed down quite a bit. They're both great play sets. Just look up the pictures. There's videos for all the Schleich products on all their Amazon pages and stuff. It's a lot of fun. I imagine if you have a kid that plays with toys, they would go bonkers for it. They're built for kids. They're very fun. What's something you've gotten in recently that's maybe not G.I. Joe based?
Right before everything kind of went down, or I guess locked down, there was a small comic show north of Nashville, the Clarksville Comic Show. We went out there. Essentially, we were out of school for the Nashville tornadoes and then for spring break back to back and now this. But at that point, before the lockdown happened, he was playing a little bit of Lego Dimensions while I was working during the day. And so we've gone a little ham with the Lego Dimensions. At this point, we're about 60% through the whole collection. I don't know that we're trying to get a full collection. So every day we have a little bit of time with that.
What exactly is Lego Dimensions? Because I've seen the packaging. I have no idea what it is. Is it like an app-based?
It was on like PlayStation 3 and Xbox and the Wii U or whatever. So it's no longer in production. I think like 2015 through 2017 or something. But it's just a video game. All of the little Lego builds have a disc that you put on a platform that reads the disc and allows you to play those characters in the video game.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
The reason I asked if it was app-based is because they have a series right now that is almost like a paranormal line. Nicole just got one of the playsets and she's toying around with maybe completing the series. It's a cool concept. I don't know if she's downloaded the app or done anything with it. They're actually kind of pricey, which is weird because normally like the in-house Lego branded stuff is slightly cheaper than the licensed stuff like, say, Marvel, Harry Potter, or Star Wars. But I'm guessing they're trying to make back a little extra for developing an app. Some of the sets are kind of higher priced compared to other sets of similar size.
With Lego prices, the golden rule is it should be no more than 10 cents per element. And I know like the Star Wars tax or the Batman tax is usually like 12 to 13 cents per element. And so I don't know, like I haven't looked at the prices, but I mean, I guess you can extrapolate from that. Like if it's 1,000 piece, you know, it should be what, $100?
Okay.
Then again, you know, it's been a couple of years since I've collected Lego, so I don't know if that golden ratio has changed at all. That was what it was 2 or 3 years ago when I was still trying to collect before A was really just completely disconnected from Lego and I decided not to put our money into it.
Next time we hit a target, I will do a comparison like that because that's interesting. That's interesting to think about. Do you know off the top of your head what characters he's been playing lately, or?
Yeah, well, we were at the comic show. He picked up the last couple of the Ninjago characters that he needed. So he's really been loving them, as well as Abby Yates from the Ghostbusters and a couple other characters. But right now, he's really focused on these four or five Ninjago characters. It's kind of funny.
That's cool.
He doesn't own a single Ninjago set that's not Dimensions because he doesn't play with Lego.
Toy Fair weekend, in the midst of all the chaos of all the pre-orders and all the announcements for all the different Hasbro products and all the other products, Foot Locker ran an insane sale on the limited edition G.I. Joe Asics. They were on sale for $50 a pair, which the normal retail sticker was $120. When I saw they were on sale, I ran outside, I called you. We both kind of were on the fence whether what we were going to do, whether we needed sneakers, because we had just both pre-ordered the entire G.I. Joe offerings from Hasbro. And I decided, after talking to you and talking to Nicole, I decided to grab the Snake Eyes pair because I wasn't too crazy about the Storm Shadow white pair, and I knew I probably wouldn't really wear them. And they came very fast, and I opened up the box, and they sent me shoes two sizes too small. Open the box. I immediately text you and say they sent the wrong size. It just happened to work out that it was your size. You said, let me know what you end up doing. I might be interested. So I called Foot Locker. Long story, longer story, condensed down to a short story. After about 45 minutes between three different customer service people, it was established that they, even though I could add them to a cart on the website, they could not just send me the pair because they only have access to the warehouse and what's on the website is coming from different stores. And basically, they were able to set a note on my account that if my size came back in stock, I would be able to get them because they were no longer on sale. I would be able to get them for the $49.99 price. 3 days later, I called. The woman was very nice. She actually tried to get me the shoes for free. It did not work out, which I did not ask for them for free, but she was like, I feel like this could have been handled better. She managed to get me the shoes and get me a 25% off coupon, which I never used and I believe is now expired. But then I sent you the 9.5s. All that long-winded chitter chatter to say that we both ended up with the Snake Eyes Asics, and I love them. I've worn them out a few times. What do you think?
Oh, they feel great. The split tongue is a little weird for me, but I've worn them out a couple times and I like them. They're now in my, they're not in my daily rotation, but they're certainly in my weekly rotation.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to wait until the weather clears up and all the salt is gone because in New York they salt the roads. But in the summer, if I'm doing something casual, they will definitely, like, I'm not going to be afraid to wear them. What else have you been up to?
It's a little old now. Well, it was a little old because it takes a while to get a box from India to here. Our friend Fun School Ronnie pared down his Eels army. And you know how much I love all of the Eels, but yes, specifically the 92 Eels and the shark robot or the robot shark. So I picked up a handful of the Fun School Eels complete. It just makes me happy. Like, it's not a huge grab by anybody's measuring stick, but I love it. And I think my Fun School Eels are somewhere around 15-ish now. I mean, I'll buy them for as long as I'm collecting toys, but I would like at least 20 complete before I just start grabbing anything I run into, right?
I still think I want to get one of those sharks because I think they're super cool.
The sharks are dope. I love them. Out of the 45 or 50 sharks that I have, only four are not complete.
That's a lot of robot sharks.
It is. It is a lot of robot sharks.
So I got two items I've been excited to talk to you about because I know you own them. And that's kind of a somewhat rare thing for us. So I got the 2013 and the 2012 San Diego Comic-Con G.I. Joe Transformer crossover sets.
Those are both great sets.
They're amazing sets, and I understand that they, like, other than stickers, they don't really have anything to do with Transformers.
Correct.
I've wanted the one with Jetfire for a while because I love the Baroness head sculpt. I love the little, like, Jetfire, like, escape hatch, like, drone jet that comes off the back. And once I realized that you could open that up and put a figure inside, it immediately shifted to the top of my list of what I wanted to buy. I wanted the box because I liked the artwork. I found one for a very, very fair price, and I was not disappointed. I pulled that drone out, I put the drone together, and was just like gushing about it. And I was like, man, like it is a great feeling when you covet something for a year or 2 years, and then you get it, and it doesn't disappoint.
Honestly, it's the only Baroness head sculpt that I've seen that I like. Like, all the Baroness head sculpts are kind of goofy looking to me. And I'm not a modern person, so maybe there's a great one out there, but that one looks so much better than the rest.
There's one from the Rise of Cobra line that is a good head sculpt. I don't necessarily know if it's a good Baroness head sculpt, but in terms of a head sculpt itself, it is good. But I don't really like any of the modern ones. The other set with the Shockwave His Tank is a bit funny because I got it from two different people. I had asked the same seller who I got the other one from. He's like, well, I have the box and the His Tank. I don't have a complete set. A big thing on this was I knew that he would ship it safe because I want the box. I have all three of the sets that I own. I have the boxes on display on top of a bookshelf, and I think they look fantastic. Just the way life works. My buddy posted one of the figures for sale on Instagram. And then 2 weeks later, he posted the other figure on Instagram for sale. I'll take them. Over the course of a week, I completed the set from two different people. That set is also awesome. I love that the bat comes with the little cart with the Energon cubes. I fiddled around with the Destro because both of our Destros seem to have one leg that's shorter than the other. Yours is drastically different compared to mine. It's funny that I hunted down and paid for a box set that's 50% based on a fandom that I have zero investment in. But at the end of the day, they're just G.I. Joe toys in my eyes because that's what they are.
I really liked that Destro until I got the 50th anniversary Destro.
Sorry for that.
Yeah, that one's on you. Sitting beside each other really exposed how... Yeah, I really don't care for that purple Destro anymore. And also, I really don't care that much for the Shockwave tank. To me, that is the lesser of all the sets, except for the rolling cart with the elements on it. I don't know, like, the Shockwave tank's okay. I preferred the Soundwave His Tank, even though you can't really comfortably get people in the back.
That version of the His Tank, which is the Retaliation His Tank, is absolutely my least favorite of all modern His Tanks, including the 25th, which is a remake of the original, which I love the original His Tank. Iconic, blah, 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 blah. Don't need to cover that. I'm right there with you. It is what it is. I'm happy to have it. I really bought the sets for the box and the figures. I will put together the Jetfire Sky Striker. I will eventually put together the other His Tank and the Power Glide. On the topic of that other His Tank, which is the DTC His, I wound up with one of the ones in the DTC color, and I had plans to turn it into my custom Major Blood tank.
We are going to have to put together a project board for you.
Yes, that is very true.
I'm not denigrating. I need my own project board, but you've been a little more forthright with how many unfinished products you have. I've been a little more quiet about it.
There's plenty that I haven't brought up.
It sounds like you've been having a lot of fun with some San Diego Comic-Con grabs several years late.
I realize I never finished a thought. The other style of the His Tank. I bought it for the Major Blood. I liked that it had troop carrying ability, or so I thought, but what you just said is perfect because the way that's designed and it has like the cup to hold a figure, I wanted to try to figure out some other piece I could fuse together or something to eliminate that cup. Never got around to it. Sits on a shelf. It's a beautiful His Tank, but it didn't quite deliver the way I thought it would. But it is still an amazing His Tank.
Since we're the Order of Battle podcast, let's look at one of the pages. In issue 4, May 1987, page 1, or if you have the trade, it's page 6, the APC. It was designed as a playable carrying case, and the APC can really pack in the figures. There are 5 versions that I'm aware of. You know, the 83 camo top that we all army build because they're not that expensive unless you look for the seat belts. The Night Force Night Scrambler, which is all black and neon. I still don't have one. for as much as people love Night Force, we're really hypocritical about 90s Neon. And then it came out again in late in the A-Raw line with the dark green gray canopy, which was the CUDA, the mail away slash convention. Action Force had a way better version called the ATC. And then Lantern Corps put like a squat version for their Space Force. And I know Lantern shouldn't count. It's not G.I. Joe. It's not Hasbro. But it looks straight up like a squat white APC. I still want one. Personally, I love this vehicle. And I have a couple. I even have a World Peacekeeper custom Python Patrol version done by a customizer in the Facebook Joe community. He did it a few years back. More recently, I took one of my standard APCs and had a graffiti artist do a full art job on it, and then he bombed it. It's tagged with Cobra on one side, Destro on the other, has small tags all over it. It's incredible, and it makes me want to hire more artists to do more APCs. I love this thing, and I hope to get a scrambler at some point, and everything will come at some point, but I would like to get it sooner rather than later because I love the APC.
So piggybacked onto me completing these Transformers box sets, one of the guys I bought the stuff from is a good friend of mine I've talked about, TMK, Total Madness Customs. I got like four packages from him in like 2 weeks. I just like kept buying. He took a Snake Eyes body from the Power Glide box set, kitbashed it out. I grabbed it from him because I love that figure as a base body. And I think I have four of them now. One I used for a custom Billy. The other two I'm going to turn into something. I haven't decided yet. One I'll keep complete, but he threw a head on it that he had painted that was a Retaliation Cobra Trooper head, which was the one that came with the parachute. He painted it black. It's got red goggles. To me, it looks like a Snake Eyes head. I know people have used it for one of the 90s Snake Eyes. They did a custom with it. I grabbed it because to me, it looked like it could be one of those weird foreign Cobra Snake Eyes figures. And in the process of that, he was digging through his bins, sending me pictures of stuff he had. And he pulled out of the corner from the G.I. Joe Collectors Club Night Force box set. They did a Cobra Mortal in all white. I grabbed that from him as well, knowing that those two figures were going to make me finish three figures I had sitting in my need to finish bin. I have built a little army of foreign Cobra figures. I have a Marauder Task Force kitted out version of the Cobra Mortal in the black and red, Cobra Dayako that was in a custom collection I bought that I talked about in another episode, a handful of Cobra Invasers that I've made with the black Dollar General Cobra Trooper body with Snake Eyes heads. I have one with an all-black head, one with green goggles, red goggles, and then now I have another one with this head that was painted by TMK. And then I used a Retaliation Cobra body. I think they called it the Swamp Viper. It came with one of the repackages of the Water Moccasin. It's like a grayish purple with like green armor. And to me, I just thought like this looks like it would be one of those weird South American, like they had the molds. They just threw whatever colors they had, threw a Cobra logo on it. And I have three of those figures that I've kitbashed together using Resolute Snake Eyes head. So basically, within this tornado of products that I bought from TMK, it led me to finish three more of my little kitbash custom kits that have been sitting in a bin for 6 months.
That's three projects down.
Yeah, it's three projects down. It's a lot of fun. For the past 3 years, without us having, you know, G.I. Joe on the shelves, I just build my own stuff. I try to find inspiration and random little bits here and there, like TMK painted a head and put it on a body, and then it led me to finishing three customs.
It's also cool when a friend can inspire you to do a thing.
Yes. On the topic of a friend inspiring me, you got something in that took a very long time for it to actually get to your house, and it sat in customs for what seemed like an eternity for me, so it must have felt like two eternities for you.
Got it from a guy in Germany, and yeah, it took 2.5 days to get from Germany to New York, according to the tracking. And then it took 2 months to get from New York to Nashville. He made this post in one of the mask groups on Facebook of this Venom garage. And I hit him up and I was like, is that playable? Like if I gave that to an 8-year-old? And he's like, yeah, dude, it's completely playable. And so I didn't know what he did to make this. As it turns out, it's this garage that has like, you know, 1/32nd or scale, whatever figures, army men sized little figures, right? But it's just this full-on garage. I don't know the brand. I think it's from like the 70s or so. But he basically just restickered it with Repro mask stickers. But he set it up to look like a Venom garage. And it looks great. When you put the mask figures in there, you know, the desks and all the other little shop things that he put in there, it all fits. For A's half birthday, we did a mask-themed thing and I gave it to him. I don't think we talked about it when we talked about A's half birthday.
We did not.
He now has this thing on one side of the room, Boulder Hill on the other. Like, he's no longer using Rise of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles sewer layer as the Venom base. Venom has their own base. He likes the Venom garage more than he likes Boulder Hill.
I don't have a horse in this race. I don't know anything about mask. I don't think I've ever even held a mask vehicle. I gotta take A's side on this. I think that garage is like a little bit cooler than Boulder Hill.
The garage is super hot. It's a great addition to our play pattern. Like, that's about as great a compliment as you can, as I can think of for a custom thing, because so much custom is meant to just be displayed. This could be displayed. It does look pretty. I had him open it in a live video in the mask group. I sent some pictures and some video to Bjorn, who got it to us. I love it, man. It's fantastic.
It is awesome. And my next item kind of fits into that collector piece that can be played with. It's going to look beautiful on display. When Marauder Task Force did the World War II Kickstarter, I went bonkers. I went in for the highest package. I did a lot of add-ons. When I was filling out my backer kit, I, for the most part, landed on a minimum of a 5-man squad for everything. Some have more, some like specific figures I did not need 5 of, but like in general, there's like 1 officer and 2 of each troops, whatever. So in the process of them shipping out the reward packages for the backers, they had made a deal with New Jersey Comic Con from last year that they would have an exclusive figure from the World War II line. Now, they ran into a couple of snags. They ran into a couple of hangups. It delivered late, but it was worth the wait, like I said before, because the figures are amazing. They did an exclusive German woodland panzer camo, which is a very detailed, very, very intricate camo pattern. And they did 3 different versions of this figure for NJCC. They also said when they posted it, like, hey, we don't want our backers to be upset with us, but we've decided that we should keep our word since we got the figures in time to do this exclusive. So essentially, if you went to NJCC, you could get these figures in hand before people who backed the Kickstarter. It was by like a week. You know, NJCC happened, and within a week, I had my box. On the website, they do a very nice thing where they put the stock count on the item. So if you're looking at whether it's this base body or that base body or this gun or that gun, they let you know how much they have. So I checked and one of the German figures was down to like 14. I was like, all right, I gotta stop fooling around or I'm going to miss out on this figure and I'm going to be bummed. So I pulled the trigger. I got 1 officer, 2 machine gunners, and 2 riflemen. It's the same base figure. They just come with different accessories. And they are very sharp. To relate it to the mask garage, like, they're so detailed and so nice. I haven't put together any of my World War II figures because I'm not ready to start that project. Because the quality is so high, they look like collector's pieces, which they are because they're collectibles built for adults. But A could easily play with one of these because it's the same similar construction to a modern G.I. Joe. It's a modern action figure. It's playable, but it just looks stunning.
We do not own any of those because of our play pattern with modern isn't that often anyway. With 6-inch coming down the pike, you know, that is very likely to change. So I guess we'll find out.
As we kind of hinted at before, I know you're a huge Destro guy, and I know that your last item of note is a very big and important Destro item. And in the midst of all this, I hunted down a 50th anniversary Destro to send to you because it is by far the best modern Destro that has ever come out. The head sculpt is just the best, in my opinion. It actually looks like a metal mask over top of someone's head instead of the Silver Surfer thing that comes across in a lot of Destro in media and Destro in figures. And it is a big, intimidating body. It's taller than most modern figures. It matches what I feel Destro would be, which is just a force in a room. That figure, I will tease this, has led us to a potential project for both of us. But that's a conversation for another time. Tell me slash us about your Destro.
That Destro came in right at the same time as another big Destro thing. Kind of like your San Diego Comic-Con adventure where you were going through two different people to put together one set, I did the same. I went through two different people, but was able to put together version 2 Destro, his card, his vehicle, and the vehicle box for the Brazilian Estrela Destro, which is phenomenal. In the US, we got the despoiler with Destro in the box, you know, in the red back bubble. But in Brazil, they got the Vibora by itself. And V2 Destro came on a card. Between these two guys, I was able to put all four of these items together. The only thing that I'm basically missing out of that set now, the blueprints for the Vibora, which also frees me up to start chasing version 1 Destro, which had two different cards. And I have only seen the white card. As of right now, I've got a lead on one. We'll see. But so not only did I get this very cool South American, foreign to me, Destro set in the same week, I also got this incredible modern Destro. So it's been a great Destro, you know, month for me.
I purposely wanted to save this section for the end because I know Destro is one of your main collecting focuses. It's been a great like 2 or 3 weeks with you and I talking privately about this whole thing and you getting the despoiler. Next thing I know, you're like, hey, I think I'm getting this Brazilian Destro.
We were actively talking when I started getting the messages on the card back and I'm like talking to you about it while I'm talking to the guy about it. And I'm like, all right, should I do this? I'm not going to do it. No, I got to do it. I got to do it. And it was a lot of fun. You know, sometimes things are very easy. This wasn't easy. But once the pieces fell into place, the two guys are incredible. And I really enjoy talking to them anyway. So it was great conversation that led to a great new piece. I hadn't talked to you about this yet. But the sad part about this was I'm looking at these and I have the perfect shadow box already here in the house. Pull it out of the attic. Card back fits in there, the vehicle and the figure fit in there, and I go to put the Vibora box in there, and it is like a 16th of an inch. It's too small.
Oh.
I would have to crush the box a little bit just to get it to squeeze in. If it would fit, it's the perfect depth. It's everything is great. It's just a 16th of an inch, too small to fit the box. Once we are no longer on lockdown, I will be hunting a better display for this Brazilian Destro set.
I'm glad that you're going that route. From what you've told me, these are not the easiest things to hunt down.
No, this is the first Vibora box and vehicle that I've seen in the 3 years of trying to find one.
Wow.
First one I saw, damn it, I grabbed.
I think that's a good place to end on the high note of this epic hunt coming to a conclusion. Thank you for being a part of our conversation. Order of Battle is made by us because we love this lifestyle and hobby and enjoy being a part of it. Our music is crafted by Self Help. Thank you. Our email is orderofbattle@gmail.com. We'd love to hear about your recent hauls or recent items that have inspired you to either complete a project or start a project. You can also chat with us on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod and Twitter at Order of Battle PD. We are working on being better at social media. We'll get there. Thank you.